We know there is a fire season every year in our part of the world. We're getting used to the fact that the seasons are longer and the fires more destructive. That adds urgency to the search for ways to make our communities and individual homes safer from fire. We talk about things like keeping vegetation away from the house, but what about the house itself? Ideas for fire-resistant building materials come up all the time. The University of California, Davis is doing research into earth blocks. Let's hear from Michele Barbato, a professor of structural engineering at UC Davis and co-director of the Climate Adaptation Research Center there. Professor Barbato, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Thank you very much for having me on your program.
It's good to have you here. I assume structural engineering is really about looking at ways to make structures lighter, stronger, safer?
Correct, and affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Affordable is a very important part.
As I noticed, as I read through some of the material about what's going on, so in California, let's start there, because this absolutely has to include the risk of fire. I mean, I can't imagine you're ever not looking at ways to make housing more fire resistant.
One part of my research is indeed investigating how to make structures and particularly houses that are more fire resilient than what we have now. The material that we are looking at, earth block material, is a very ancient technique that we are trying to re-engineer in order to make it sustainable, affordable, and safe, not only to fires, but also to other type of hazards.
So talk about the history then, because earth blocks, they do go back a long way, as you pointed out.
Techniques like adobe, cob, earthen construction, rammed earth, they are almost 10,000 years old. So we have a lot of experience, but relatively little science. And that's one of the reasons that you don't see a lot of houses that are built with this material right now.
Well, that's interesting. So we got away from it over time, and there's just not a lot of research into it until you got there?
I wouldn't say that I'm the first one that is thinking again about them. There has been a renaissance of earthen construction starting in the 50s, 60s. But right now it's still very much a niche type of construction where people that want to have a particularly safe and sustainable house are often self-building it, or there are some high-profile constructions that are made with this material. What we are trying to do is to make it in a way that everybody can afford a house that is practically fireproof and can also perform very well against hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, and heavy rains.
So describe the methods you're using. Have you settled on one kind of way to make earth blocks?
For earth blocks, we are really trying to use the soil that is available at any location, find the composition, based on the composition, decide on a chemical stabilizer. Right now we are using mainly cement and lime, and then compress it mechanically to reach an appropriate strength. We have also tried a few other things to make it more resistant and more ductile, but the main technology is mixing soil with cement and then compressing it into big blocks.
And so how much, given the compression ratio, I mean, how big a collection of earth do you have to have before, and what do you end up with when you're done?
A house, let's say a house that is about 1,000 square feet would use between 4,000 and 5,000 of these blocks. You really can just make a big hole in your yard and build your walls.
All right, so how much do you have to add, though, in terms of these chemical stabilizers like lime and cement?
It depends on the soil. There is some particular compositions, some good mixes of sand, clay, and silt that reach already naturally a very good strength. And so you need to add very little just to provide additional resistance to moisture and rain. Sometimes your soil is not that good, and then you can go up to 6, 9, even 10% of cement. It really depends on what you have under your feet.
So in clay soils, for example, would you have to add less?
It really depends on the relative proportion between larger particles like sand and smaller particles like clay. So it depends. Usually you need to have a similar proportion of sand and clay and relatively little silt to have an optimal type of material. But we have done very good blocks also with material that was suboptimal or actually considered inappropriate for adobe, with levels of cement that were at most 9%.
Michele Barbato is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a professor of structural engineering at the University of California, Davis, and co-director of UC Davis's Climate Adaptation Research Center. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the idea of using what's around you, and not we're talking of the trees, but actually the soil to make blocks to build houses with. You can join the conversation on the JX by calling 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, or you can email jx@jeffnet.org. So you ran a bunch of tests, I noticed, on the earth blocks for fire resistance. What kinds of tests and how did they do?
We have used our blocks and warmed them up into a furnace at very high temperature, up to 2200 Fahrenheit, and they seem to be performing well. They obviously don't burn, it's a non-combustible material, so that's a very big plus, but up to a certain level, actually, it seems like the strength is increasing because what you are getting is fire clay bricks, so they become actually stronger. And then when you reach very, very high temperatures, above the 2200 or around the 2200 Fahrenheit, they start melting a little bit like glass.
All right, but up to 2200 Fahrenheit is a hard temperature for a fire to reach, I would think, or is it?
Yes, it is. It is a very high temperature. We really wanted to understand what is the maximum capacity. At a certain point, whatever you are going to use is going to melt. So we needed to understand what is the upper level. But temperature that you reach on would be a temperature that you could reach in a firestorm, but the idea is that your house is not burning, so there is nothing that is really sustaining the fire, and those temperatures would never be reached.
So we have a question from Lonnie and Ashton, who asks about sun-baked adobe. I mean, it is generally fire-resistant and water-resistant, but you're going a little beyond that with the stabilizer chemicals, aren't you?
Yes, there are two differences between the compressed air blocks and adobe. One is the mechanical compression that is done only for the air blocks. In the adobe, you're really mixing it and then compressing it kind of by hand. And then you have the additional chemical stabilizer. So that you can use a wider range of soils and still have a very good performance.
So the kind of compression you have to do, is this the kind of thing that is done easily with a machine that can go from place to place? Can it be done by hand? I mean, I'm trying to figure out the actual technique if somebody were interested in building a house out of this, basically on site.
Yes. So we have built a machine in our machine shop, a little steel machine that is called Simbaram. We really took a design of the 1960s and improved it a little. to do our tests. It's a little bit labor intensive with that manual machine, so we just purchased an hydraulic machine that is a larger version of it, and we can produce 350 to 400 bricks per hour with just the work of our students. So it's perfectly feasible to build houses with these. And we have examples of houses that have been built with earth blocks or with other earthen construction techniques that are also very feasible.
All right, we have a couple of questions from listeners for you, not surprisingly. Here is Jeff in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Professor Michele Barbato from the University of California, Davis.
Who are you? Were you talking to Jeff?
Yes, that's you.
Oh, okay. My question is it possible to add something that would, a foaming agent or something that could make the blocks lighter so they're easier to handle but without compromising the strength?
Okay, that's an interesting question. Thanks for that, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for the question. So we have not tried to do that. I would imagine it is possible, but it's really something that we have not tried at all yet. So I wouldn't be able to really say yes or no without first trying it.
And what about the overall dimensions of the blocks? What have you been working with? And maybe as a comparison, we could talk about cinder blocks or concrete blocks and how they compare in both weight and size.
Yeah, so the blocks we've been working on are a little bit bigger than cinder blocks, definitely bigger than the fired clay bricks, about 12 inches long, and then breaking down about half dimension in each, so it's 12, 6 by 3. You can do them smaller. You can do them bigger. It's really depending on the machine that you have available, but you can decide the dimension. There is always a careful balance there, because if you make them too big, they become difficult to use and to move. And if you make them too small, then you have to put a lot of bricks, and that also increases the amount of work that you need to do in order to build your walls. So the dimension that we are using right now is kind of a balance between the two things, where you need to lift them with two hands, but each person can lift it easily, and you don't want to have too many bricks to position, because that increases the amount of time that you need to spend to build the walls.
All right. Another question here from Mark in Reading, who asks if the kind of earth blocks you're talking about work only for single family structures, and for that matter, let's add whether it's single level structures, or could you use it for large multi dwelling structures?
So we have. Thanks for the question. We have investigated and make our designs for houses right now. But there are examples of larger structures that have been built with this type of construction materials. There are schools, childcare facilities, and larger buildings. Definitely, we are thinking about low-rise buildings that are particularly in rural areas, particularly where the distance with other type of material is large. It's really making these material particularly advantageous. In terms of height of the buildings, you can make it multi-story, but it depends really on the seismicity of the location. With our calculations and using appropriate reinforcement, we can make it safe and affordable up to two stories in very high earthquake activity zones. Beyond that, the walls become quite thick, and so they become a little bit more expensive in terms of labor and material that you need to use. There is really no bullet, silver bullet that solves every problem. You need to use the materials where it makes sense to use it and where you can get the most out of it.
So you mentioned having to make thicker walls if you go up higher. That implies that there's no other sorts of structural members. There's no steel studs or anything to hold the wall in place or anything like that.
Yeah, the idea is to have walls that are structural walls. So these are masonry walls that are sustaining not only the vertical loads, but also the larger loads that are coming from strong winds in hurricanes and larger loads from earthquakes. And we have tested these structures in previous research projects against hurricanes, earthquakes, and windborne debris from tornadoes and heavy rain in humid and hot places.
Our guest again on the Jefferson Exchange is Michele Barbato, a professor of structural engineering at UC Davis and the co-director of the Climate Adaptation Research Center. We're talking about building materials that would be highly fire resistant, and earth blocks seems to be a very reasonable option in a number of ways, not just for fire resistance and structural strength, but also for affordability, which we'll get into in just a moment. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange in the conversation, 800-838-3760 for your questions and comments. You can also send them via email to jx@jeffnet.org. So as you mentioned, I mean, what you do in structural engineering is not just look for ways to make buildings lighter, stronger, safer, but also affordable. And so what kind of index do you have on the affordability of earth block construction versus other types of construction?
So the general wisdom is that earthen construction is slightly more expensive than wooden construction. What we are trying to do is make the best use of the base material that is practically free, is soil. And reduce the amount of labor because the additional cost is really due to the fact that it's a little bit more labor intensive than wooden construction. And this works well in places where the labor cost is smaller than the material cost, but it doesn't work as well in places where the labor cost is the major component of the cost. And so what we are trying to do is to really develop a construction technique by shaping appropriately the bricks, making them interlocking and using other techniques to minimize the amount of labor that is needed to build these structures.
Not quite like Lego blocks, but it sounds like in that direction.
Similar to Lego blocks. Actually, that's one of the ways that I use to describe it. They interlock similarly to Lego blocks. They have holes where you have the reinforcement that is coming out from the foundations, and you use these bars that are coming out to position correctly also your blocks.
So, Michele, what does the inside of a house look like with these earthen blocks? I mean, how do you run the services like the electrical and the plumbing? And do the interior walls just look like the blocks, or can you put up drywall on them, or how does that all work?
Really, they look nice in the sense that you can make it look exactly like any other house. But if you like the texture of these of these walls, they can also be simply showing. You would have a more rustic shape of your walls, or you can make them perfectly flat, and both of those will work. You need to do a little bit of, you need to put a little bit of care on the shape of the blocks and leaving spaces to run your plumbing. No problem in running the electrical components. And in terms of insulation, that's another advantage of the material. They have a very high thermal mass and they provide the insulation automatically. Another great thing in terms of sustainability is not only the low embodied energy, because you are not really using anything else than electric, a little bit of mechanical energy to do it, but also the low operational energy, because you can save a lot in terms of heating, cooling, and also in terms of humidity control. These walls are naturally breathing, so whenever it's too dry, they release humidity, and whenever it's too humid, they take the humidity out from the indoor air, and so that makes them also ideal in terms of protecting from mold and any type of things that are related with unhealthy indoor quality.
Final question here, because we're down to our last few seconds. Paul in Grants Pass writes in, "This is a marvelous idea. When I built, the problem was getting a lender to accept new structural materials. I wound up going for the best fire resistance with real stucco, fire-resistant insulation, a metal roof, and concrete soffits. Get the lenders to buy in," he says. Have you done any work in that direction?
Yes, actually, this is a very good question and something we are working on. In the sense that obtaining acceptance from local agencies, but also finding builders and crews that can build this material is an existing issue.
Okay. All right. We'll have to stop it there. Michele Barbato, thank you so much for joining us from the University of California, Davis, to talk about earth blocks.